Amen. That was a blessing.
Amen.
I like when the Lord confirms things. A lot of the theme of the songs have been about love. If it gets hard, I'll still serve Him because I love Him. Amen. I'll be preaching a message tonight that I've entitled Our Mission of Love. I have been in the ministry. I've been a pastor now for 28 years. And I want you to know that I'm a man. So a lot of times when somebody tells me that they have a problem, I just try to fix them. Our wives love that. My wife used to tell me, she says, I just want you to listen, I don't want you to fix me. Yeah, maybe y'all have ever heard that. Amen. Amen. If you haven't heard it, you will. You go into the ministry and you study and you do all you can to find answers for people. And so you're all the time giving advice and telling people what to do. And a number of years ago, I just came under great conviction because I saw so many of my preacher's friends' families falling apart. And it wasn't the husband and wife relationship, it was the parent-child relationship. And a lot of them were becoming teenagers, and as soon as they had opportunity, they were getting out of the IFB. I don't know how many of y'all know, but that has become a byword amongst young people. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm glad to be an independent fundamental Baptist. But some of our young people have taken and turned it into kind of a byword, a bad connotation. And part of the reason is they don't understand why they're supposed to be doing the things that they were told to do their whole life. And the burden that I have is a lot of times early on I would just tell people what and how to do things, but I would forget to tell them why. And when I saw my preacher friends, I began to pray about it, and I prayed for my own kids because I don't know about you. I preached about this on Tuesday night. For all that the Lord blesses me, I want to see my children and my grandchildren propagating this faith. How about you? And so I did a little bit of study, and I've done all I can to talk to younger people. And the ones that are willing to talk, and I've talked to some rebels, you know, some people who were, I don't know how many of y'all know this, some of our kids are becoming atheists. And I got to tell you, that's disturbing. How do you go from being raised in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and then just totally abdicate your faith and say, I don't even believe there's a God? And one of the things that the young people talked to me about is they said, listen, we just want to know why. Tell us why. Give us the reasons. And I preached a series of messages a number of years ago out of the book of Job. And I preached a message called Learning to Listen. I preached another one called Learning to Communicate. And the whole point is this is God's given us two ears and one mouth. So we're supposed to probably should use that ratio as a guideline.
Amen.
Listen twice as much as you talk. And the reason I say that is I think it's so important, especially for our young folks. I guess I have a real burden for young people, and praise the Lord for folks who are more mature. But I do have a burden for our young folks to know there's a reason why this church exists. There's a reason why you have so much great things. You got a great music program, a great training ministry. You have a great outreach. Listen, how many of y'all are thankful for your church?
Amen.
Can I tell you, you ought to be thankful for your church, amen? But these things came about because of some reasons. It wasn't just because the pastor gets up and says, do this and do this and do this. And this is a military church. How many of y'all are used to giving and taking orders? Okay? And so for some of that, it becomes natural. We don't question orders. That orders this, we're supposed to do it, I'll do it. But I will tell you this, young people sometimes need a little bit more. And they need to hear the reasons why from us. And so I want to talk about our mission of love tonight, and that is, if you will, the answer to the why we do what we do for the Lord. Would you stand with me as we turn to 1 John? 1 John chapter 4, we went again to verse 7. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, the Bible says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Skip down to verse 16. The Bible says, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Skip down to verse 19, and the Bible says, and you guys know this, can you say it with me, please? We love him because he first loved us. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to open your word tonight. Father, help us to put aside the cares of this world for a time. Father, I thank you for speaking to me. Lord, now I just pray that you would speak through me. Help them to see you and your word alone. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would touch hearts according to every need. Help us to be better Christians and better parents and, Father, better children of God. Father, I pray that you would touch hearts and minister to every need according to your perfect will. And for your glory alone, Lord, we ask this now in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Please do be seated. That will be a linked verse here, but I want you to see it. My outline, first off, is God is love, and then God commends love to us. And the third point is this, God illustrates that love. And I want to talk about that illustration of love. We'll get to that. But to see that, I want to look at a family that loved Jesus Christ. They had a very special relationship with him. And so to do that, you're going to be looking at a lot of scripture, so keep your Bibles open and ready. Go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, please. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into, next two words there? Her house. Now here in a second, it's going to say it's somebody else's house, so you might want to pay attention to that, okay? The Bible says that it went into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Please take this the right way, if you will. It doesn't say the better part, it just says the good part, okay? You'll see why I say that here in a second. It'll be an important point. To see further, if you will, go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. We compare scripture to scripture, so it brings out further insights. John chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, say it with me, please, he whom thou lovest is sick. Folks, Jesus loves this family. He loves Lazarus. You're going to see he loves Mary. He loves Martha. They have a special relationship here, okay? The Bible says he loves. Listen, I'm going to say it again. He loves Lazarus. Can I say this? I think if Jesus loves him, how many of y'all think he loved him back? Okay, they love. This is a loving relationship. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. The Bible says, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee there, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth a lot of word. I read too far, so excuse me. Go to chapter 12 and look at verse 1. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Got the two chapters mixed up. Please forgive me. Chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag and he bare what was put therein. He says, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with me, but me ye have not always. Much people of Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Folks, this is, if we will, three different accounts, if you will, of this one aspect of Jesus coming into this house. In another place, the Bible says it was the house of Simon the leper, okay? And just for sake of time, I won't go there. But the Bible says it was Martha's house, and it says it was the house of Simon the leper. There's a couple times where Mary actually anointed the feet of Jesus and did this in two different places, okay? I believe it was that same Mary. And the whole point is there's a wonderful relationship between this family, a loving relationship that we can learn a lot from. But before we get there, I want to do some defining. I want you to realize, first off, folks, how many of y'all know this? God is love. Can y'all say it with me? God is love. One of the things is we're trying to love, but I want you to know God is love. Do y'all understand that? We're trying to love, but God is love. You know, the I am statements of the Bible help us to understand who God is more than any others. Because if you think about it, he says, I am the way. What is that? He's the only way to heaven. Amen. I am the truth. Listen, if you want to be lied to, talk to the devil. If you want to know the truth, listen to me. Amen. So what is the truth? I am the truth. When Pontius Pilate asked, what is truth? Truth was standing before him. Y'all understand that? He is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the... Folks, you want to have everlasting life, you got to be in Christ. When it says, I am, he is. Okay, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the good shepherd. He is the bread which came down from heaven. And we can take and talk about all the I am statements of who Jesus Christ is. What he's trying to say very clearly is, if you want to know what love is, look at me. If you want to know what love is, look at me. To understand love is to begin to understand the person of God. Now, think about this. Today, the expression is, all love is love. Can I just tell you something? That is a big fat lie. Because if it doesn't conform to what the person of Jesus is, who is love, then it's not love. A lot of things that people call love today is literally hate. What do you mean? Well, the Bible says if you don't discipline your children, you hate your children. And some people say you shouldn't spank your kids if you love them. That's completely counter to what the Bible says. And so the Bible says if you want to know what love is, look to Jesus and he'll show you what love is. Amen. And love is sacrificial. Love is sacrificial. I will say this, that a lot of people want to talk about love as just an emotion. And I'll promise you this, if you're truly in love, you're going to have some emotion. Amen. But that's not the way it was for Jesus. How did he show us our love? The Bible tells us this, that he loved us and he gave himself for us. What was our text here a second ago in 1 John chapter 4? Would you look at verse 10 again? 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God. We don't know what love is because we're the ones that generate love. We're not the ones that initiate love. God is. The Bible says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Okay, well, how did he do that? Well, he did that by, it says, and he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, I got to tell you, every once in a while, I like to pull one of them big words out of the Bible. You guys probably know this, but how many of y'all know what propitiation means? Folks, propitiation means we deserve to be on the cross, and Jesus said, no, I got this one. Amen. I mean, very literally, that's what propitiation means. That means he took our place. He is our substitute. He became the sacrifice for sin that we should have been. Amen. The wages of sin is death, which would have been eternal separation from God our Father for all eternity in a place called hell, and then later in a place called the lake of fire. Amen. And that would have been the only way we could have paid for our sins. And yet Jesus Christ said, I'll take and I'll pay for those sins. I didn't bring this message tonight. I'm sure you've heard, if you haven't studied it, But folks, what Jesus went through on the cross, you know, everybody talks about, you know, he got mocked and he got spit on. They twisted a crown of thorns on him. They took and they whipped all the flesh off his back and they beat him to the point you couldn't recognize his face as a human face. The Bible says you couldn't recognize him as a man. He was on the cross of Calvary going up and down and breathing as he was dying. You guys know that's how they died. They slowly suffocate to death. You guys know this, okay? Folks, that doesn't compare to what happened when God turned out the lights for 3 hours. And God the Son was separated from God the Father. And you say it was only 3 hours. When an eternal being that lives outside of time is separated for an instant, that's an eternity for him. Why did you do that? Well, it's because you bound him with nails. Folks, he could have called down, was it 12 legions of angels? Excuse me, I'll get the numbers backwards. 60,000 angels. By the way, how many of y'all saw what one angel could do to an army outside the walls of it? Nothing was keeping him on that cross except one thing. For God so loved the world. Amen. What is love? Well, there it is, hanging on the cross. By the way, if he stayed on that cross, it'd been kind of an empty feeling. Aren't you glad he came out of the grave?
Yes.
I'm so glad. I'm glad we have a real hope, a blessed hope. Amen. Yes. What do you want to know about love? Well, love is sacrificing. He gave himself for us. How do we love? Well, we sacrifice. We give ourselves for others. Husbands, if there's ever a robber, you should stand between the robber and your wife. Amen. How many of y'all think that might not be policy nowadays? Why? Because you love them. Take me, don't take them. How many of y'all, if something like that happened, said, take me, don't touch my kids? Do it to me, don't. Why? Because I love them. I love them. Love is sacrificial, but not only that. And we know a lot of this, but it's good for us to review. Love is also multifaceted. It's just so hard to describe love in one way. So God gives us many ways to describe it. Go, if you will, to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at verse 4. We know that this word charity is agape. Okay, that's the word for love, sacrificial love. And charity helps to communicate that it's not just an idea, but it's something that you actually do. It's love in action, okay? That's what the word charity signifies. And in verse 4, the Bible says, charity suffereth long, is long-suffering. By the way, is God long-suffering with you? You know why he does that? Because he loves you. Any husbands, are you long-suffering with your wife? Watch the amens. Any of you wives long-suffering with your husbands? Oh, come on. Are we long-suffering with our kids sometimes? Are we long-suffering with that wicked family down the street? I'll give you cause to pause. I'll give you cause to pause. Charity suffereth long and is kind. The word kind means you act benevolently, you act nicely, you do something nice for somebody, kind. The Bible says, charity envieth not, it's not worried about self, it's worried about others. Charity vaunteth not itself, it's not the most important thing in the room, again, others. The Bible says, not puffed up, it's not proud, not full of itself. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Any of y'all ever get easily provoked? I've had to make 4 trips up here in the last couple days. Y'all are smiling, some of y'all. I've had to pray for help a couple times, amen, with the way people drive. Am I the only one? Okay, just leave me hanging, I appreciate that. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Say the last one there, endureth all things. And then what's it say? Charity doesn't fail. Folks, God's given us a plan to take and if you will, to turn this world upside down. He says this. He says, if you're going to do it, you're going to have to follow my pattern. You're going to have to love people. And you're going to have to be long-suffering and kind. And you're going to have to let yourself be diminished and let others become more important. And you're going to have to take and bear all these things. Why? Because that's what love is. Okay? Now, I think sometimes we can do all those things, but we're still sometimes doing them all for ourselves. Okay? Why? Well, we'll address that. God is love. Y'all with me? God is love? He's defined love for us. He showed us it's multifaceted. It's not just an emotion. It's an action. It's sacrificial. It's the model that Jesus has given us. Now, not only does God, if you will, demonstrate love to us or define what love is, but he also commends us to love. He encourages us to love. Go to Luke chapter 10, please. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, look at verse 27. They're asking here, it says, a certain lawyer stood up, attended him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How dost thou read it? He said, and he answered him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Folks, what do we call that? That's called the golden rule, if you will, the great commandment, if you will. You know, if you think about this, you can do all the right things, but if it's not motivated by love, we're doomed to failure. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 again. 1 Corinthians 13. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. By the way, just for some time, if you ever want to measure yourself against others, by the way, it says you're a fool to do it. Well, how many of y'all would like to measure yourself to Jesus? Not going to measure up? How many of y'all like to measure yourself to the Apostle Paul? Amen? And yet, here he is, okay? And he's bragging a little bit, but then he finishes in the right place. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity and have not love, sacrificial love, real love, multifaceted love, he says, I'm become as a sounding brass, as a tinkling cymbal. Now, please listen to me, but we can dress right, we can carry the right Bible, we can sing the right hymns. But if we're not manifesting love, it's like ringing a bell that nobody can hear. Is that his definition, right? Further, the Bible says this. It says in verse 2, it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I could remove mountains and have not charity, say it with me, I am... I say this lovingly, but sometimes those young folks, and I went out of my way to find a few of them, people who had been offended and fallen out and were now critical. I went out of my way to find them. I said, what's the deal? And they saw all the right things, but they didn't see the love. They didn't see the love. Now, folks, did anybody hear me tell you that we're not supposed to do the right things? I didn't say that, did I? But I said it better be communicating love at all times. Verse 3, the Bible says further. The Bible says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, say it with me one more time, it profiteth me nothing. It's interesting that love in this context is given to us in the book of Deuteronomy. That's where they're quoting from, okay? In the law. You know, first law given in Exodus doomed us to failure, pointing to the need for a Savior. Meaning what? The Bible says that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Y'all understand that? And so by keeping every statute and every law, it proved to us we can't do it. Any of y'all do your very best, but at the end of the day, you got to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Give me another chance tomorrow. Amen? But how many of y'all like confessing that to people? Well, I messed up today. I'm just going to be transparent here, but I've had people criticize me for being too transparent. You're too transparent. I do that on purpose, folks. Why? Because you need to know that by the grace of God, God saved me. He called me to preach. I have the privilege to stand in front of people and preach. But can I tell you, at the root of this, I'm just like the Apostle Paul. There's still a wicked man in here who has to be dealt with all the time. So I've overcome all that. Ooh. If Paul had trouble with it, you might want to be a little bit more transparent. Amen. What's my point? Folks, a lot of times, sometimes people see in us acting right and talking right and dressing right and doing right. Right? They don't see the love. They don't see the love. See, God commends love to us, and he shows us, he's saying, I showed you through the law, by keeping all those things, you can do all the right things and still need a better relationship with the Lord. God is love, therefore. If you will, go to Deuteronomy. I said it was in Deuteronomy. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 5. Again, Deuteronomy means the second giving of the law. Okay, so they're repeating. If God repeats something, you should listen. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it says this, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." What was the great commandment? There it is, right there. In the Old Testament. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 10, look at verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways," say it with me, "and to love him." I just recently preached here recently, but folks, the Jews got to a point that they said to keep the Sabbath. We're going to keep the Sabbath because that's the first commandment with promise, and you got to keep it just right. And you can only do so much work on the Sabbath, but sometimes you got to walk outside your house. So what we're going to do is, any of y'all ever bought dishes and it's a serving for four, but you only need two place settings? What do you do with the other dishes? You put them up for company or whatever. You guys with me? That's not what the Jews did. You know what the Jews did? They said, "Well, we got some extra cups. These belong to me." And they would walk out a Sabbath day journey, and they would drop a cup, and they would say, "Well, this is still my house." And they would walk a little bit farther. They'd drop another cup, and they'd say, "This is still my house." And they're, so they're saying, "Listen, we can walk around. We can do all this stuff on the Sabbath day. Why? Because we're still in our house." How many of y'all think people look at that and said, "That seems a little hypocritical"? Amen. And they were keeping the letter of the law, but they weren't taking a day off and giving it to the Lord. And they weren't refreshing, and they weren't relaxing, and they weren't, if you will, loving God. They were basically saying, "How close can I get to the line without getting in trouble?" And God says, "Don't do it like that. Do it because you love me." Y'all get excited for Sunday? Why? Well, you're supposed to go to church. Don't forsake the assembly yourselves together. Can I just say this? If that's the only reason you're in church, you're in trouble. You know what you ought to be in church on Sunday? It's number one, is the Lord's Day. We get a chance to worship the Lord. We get a fellowship with God's people. And the pastor gets to come up and feed the flock of God with the Word of God. Amen. And hopefully you get to meet with God in here. Y'all love that?
Amen.
That's what people need to be seeing at church. Why do we do all these things? Because we love God. It's not because we're going to go to hell if we don't. Amen?
Amen. Right.
We're doing it because there's a relationship here. And we're not trying to see how close we can get by. Because, folks, sometimes we can look right and we can do right. And then we go home and our kids see that it wasn't really from our heart. I'm sorry, somebody's heavy on my heart right now because they're dealing with this very issue. Heavy on my heart right now because they saw the legalism, but they didn't see the love. Amen. Look, if you will, at verse 19, Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 19, the Bible says this, says, love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. You know how we could say that today? Love the lost because you used to be one too.
Amen.
Is your Bible still saying, such were some of you?
Right.
And the problem is sometimes as Christians we're like, ugh. By the way, the older you get, the more you go, ugh, about. I promise you that's true because there's so much out there now, okay? I think Jesus looks on people with different eyes. How about you? They take a look at that and say, I created that one. I don't want that to go to hell. I want them to come to heaven. And by the way, if they were your own, you'd have that same burden for them. Why? Because you love them. You all get it? Amen. You see, our mission of love, we need to realize that God is love, and then God commends us to love, and then God illustrates love. I want you to see this. Go back to John chapter 11. We'll be in John 11 and 12 for the rest of this. You know, a lot of times we take and we criticize Martha. Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about much serving. But Mary hath, you know, chosen that good thing, or that better thing, if you will, that good thing, okay, which won't be taken from her, okay? Can I encourage you to maybe study those people out a little bit better? Because first off, the Bible says it was Martha's house. I want to tell you something about how property was distributed in this period of time. If the father died, the property descended to the oldest son. Y'all with me? So, if their father had died, it should have been they were in Lazarus' house. Doesn't say they were in Lazarus' house. And a matter of fact, if you compare scripture with scripture, the Bible says at another time that they were in Simon the leper's house. Okay? And so if you will, Simon the leper. So Simon the leper could show up for dinner, right? I'm not trying to pick on you. Some of you got it right, some of you got it less than right. Folks, if anybody was a leper at their time, they were supposed to cover their mouth. They were to cry out, unclean, unclean, stay away from me. And they had to take and they had to get outside of the town, outside of society. They couldn't see their friends. They couldn't see their family. That is the original quarantine. Couldn't go over there. And it's just possible that that's Martha's husband. Now, it seems to me that the Lord would have healed him. I don't know. But it just says it was in Simon the leper's house. It also said it was Martha's house. Okay. Well, there's a contradiction in your Bible. How many of y'all believe there's contradictions in your Bible? Nobody? So it says it's Simon the leper's house, and it says it's Martha's house. Y'all with me? So whose house is it? It's Simon the leper's house, and it's Martha's house. So that's either their dad, her husband. It's not her dad, it's her husband. And I don't know if he's in the house and has been healed, or if he's out of the house and he's still a leper. How many of y'all think that she might have been burdened about many things? Not just cumbered about with much serving. My whole point is this, is, you know, sometimes we don't know people's backstories. You know, a lot of times you can see the different colored hair, and you can see all the piercings, and you can see the tattoos, but you can't see the abuse. You can't see the neglect. You can't see the loneliness. You can't see the fear. Come on now. I don't want to go into too much detail, but how many can y'all use your imagination just a little bit? And we see some of these people today where your first reaction is, kids, get behind me. Now, I'm not telling you to endanger your family. I am telling you, and such were some of you. I told you on Tuesday night, I was the bus kid. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist from here to here. Amen? But it was the Nazarenes that took me to Sunday school. I say, well, they believe all these things are wrong. Yeah, they do. But you know what they also believed in? They believed in getting kids to go to Sunday school so they could teach them about Jesus. I'm not trying to tell you to change your doctrine, folks. I'm telling you, I'm so glad that somebody loved me enough to take me to Sunday school. How did I hear about Jesus, folks? I didn't hear about it in my family growing up. And I didn't have weird hair and everything, but look at me. I was kind of funny looking back then. Y'all with me? And they could look past the fact that I was obnoxious, and they could look past the fact that, you know, maybe I had bad manners. And they said, let's invite that kid to Sunday school. My pastor used to call me his bus kid. Because God saved me, and I got baptized, and I got trained, and I got called, and now I get the privilege to preach to people like you. Amen? So what could God do with the kid with the funny hair and the pierced nose and the abusive mother? If somebody could just, out of a heart of love, say, you know what? I'm going to bring that kid to church, and it's going to be a lot of trouble, but what happens if he gets saved? What happens? Martha was cumbered about much business, but folks, you don't know her backstory. I'm just telling you, I think it's very possible that she was a widow, or she had a leper for a husband. I think all these things are possible, comparing scripture with scripture, amen. And so you look at her and say, see, Martha, you should have been more spiritual like Mary. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But can I ask you to read that text again? He doesn't rebuke her for her service. Matter of fact, I think when she gets to heaven, I think God's going to say, well done. Thanks for taking care of us. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. No, I'm not saying it can't be preached another way. I'm just saying, let's see something. Folks, there's two accounts of the woman that broke an alabaster box of ointment and started to put it on his head in one account and put it on his feet in both accounts and then wiped Jesus' feet with her hair and washed him with her tears and kissed his feet. One took place in a Pharisee's home, and the Pharisee stood there and said, if he knew what this woman was, he would never let her touch him. Folks, the only person I can see who that is this same Mary. And I think she did it once early in his ministry where she received forgiveness for her sins. And she had to have been some kind of wicked woman. I'm not trying to be shocking, folks, but when I think of a wicked woman that nobody wants to touch. Maybe a prostitute? If he knew what this woman was. And then he gave that wonderful parable. He says, one was forgiven much and one was forgiven little. Which one do you think loved more? Folks, do you realize that Mary loved Jesus probably more than anybody? Why? Because of what she had been forgiven. I don't know about you. I'm not proud of my sins. Anybody here proud of your sins? Because we'll have an altar call right now and take care of it. How many of y'all are thankful for the grace and the mercy of God and forgiveness for sin? And say, God, I got to ask this question. Any of y'all been forgiven of sins after you got saved? So that still happens too. Good. It's not just me. Appreciate your transparency. Amen. And you know what all she wanted to do? She just, after that, wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus and say, teach me. Again, why do you go to church? Well, Hebrews 10:25, man. Don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. Oh, praise the Lord. Because you're supposed to. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with doing right. It's always right to do right. Amen. But can I tell you this? You'll be more faithful in attendance if you're doing it because you love the Lord, you love God. Amen. Love God's people. And by the way, love the Word. Now, I think I'm preaching to the choir here because this is a Bible teaching and training church, isn't it? Amen. Can I tell you this? I'd be thankful for that. Our church is growing right now, and the people who are coming, the ones who have come recently are saying, we want to come to your church. Why? Because we are starving to death. Well, they've got the show. But they're not being fed the Word of God. Can I ask you a question? How many of y'all read your Bible today? Don't raise your hand. How many of y'all read it because you had to? And how many of y'all read it because you love Jesus? I bet you if you read it because you love Jesus, that proportion's higher about who read it than who didn't read it today. How many of y'all, when you come to church, you come because, man, I can finally sit down and... Amen. I always tell people, if you can sleep through my preaching, you need the rest. I'm not doing it here. I'll walk the aisle if I see somebody nodding off. Amen. All right. In the Old Testament, there's one man who was called Beloved. And that man, his name is Daniel. And God gave him the Old Testament revelation, much of which we're seeing fulfilled in our days today. And he says, Daniel, because you love me, I'm going to tell you what's about to happen. Who was the disciple whom Jesus loved? John? We're testing here. Was it John? What book did he write? Well, he wrote a lot of them, but the one I want to focus on, Revelation. And God says, you know what, because you love me, I'm going to give you greater insight into my word, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen someday. Folks, the Bible says that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And folks, I'm contending with you that they loved him back. So much so that she took a box of oil that in our day's money is probably worth $60,000. A box of oil worth $60,000. And she took and she cracked it and she put it on his head and on his feet. And Judas Iscariot, that spiritual giant, said, why are you wasting that oil? And Jesus says, she's the only one in the room knows I'm going to the cross. Get a hold of that. Oh no, Peter knew. Peter didn't know. Come on, folks, amen. Listen, all men are going to forsake me. Though all men forsake you, I will never forsake you. No, this will never happen. No, not so, Lord. Don't let this happen. No. Listen, they until it happened, they couldn't believe it was going to happen. But folks, listen, if you'll study it, he at least three times in that last week, he says, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And the only one that really understood it was Mary. Why? Because she loved God. Why are you here listening to preaching tonight? Is it because you're going to get a call from the pastor if you don't show up? Or are you here tonight because you just hope that God has got something from the pulpit that can feed your soul and you just love hearing the Word of God? Why? Because I don't know about you. I was in prayer earlier. We're living in dark days. How many of y'all think it'd be kind of nice to have a little light in all this darkness? Well, folks, Jesus is the light of the world, and this is what he illuminates us with. That and the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And so, if you will, why do we serve him? Because we love him. Why do we study his scriptures? Because we love him. Can I get you to think about one other guy? Lazarus. Do you realize what God asked, what Jesus, he's God, isn't he? You realize what he asked Lazarus to do? He said, Lazarus, here's what I'm going to do. You're going to get sick. You're going to die of a grievous sickness. That's the only kind you die from. The other kind you get over. Y'all with me? I don't even want to go where I think we know this could all go. Y'all with me? And I'm going to let you die. Martha knew, Lord, if you'd have been here, he didn't have to die. I know. And by the way, if he healed her husband, she knew that. I'm sorry, I like to think about those things. It's possible. My whole point is this. Mary comes up and She says, you can still do something. Why? Because I know who you are. I've been sitting at your feet listening. I know who you are. You can still do it. Yeah, I know. This is for the glory of God. Amen. And the Bible says that he went after the fourth day, after his body was already decomposing, he did a real miracle. Amen. Lazarus come forth, and Lazarus comes forth. And for the rest of his life, he's hunted, and people want to kill him. Is that what our text said? It said they came to Bethany because Lazarus was there, and they were... Y'all remember reading it? Verse 11? John chapter 12, verse 11? The Bible says this because... it says, verse 10, it says, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. This is going to sound like a silly question here, but how many of y'all want to die once? Y'all want to go to heaven, don't you? Well, that's how we usually go. I mean, you always ask people if they want to die. No, that's how we go to heaven. You're not looking forward to death? How many of y'all were looking forward to die once and then be resurrected and then be hunted until you die again? The Bible doesn't tell us how Lazarus died, but I suspect he might have had a martyr's death. Amen. You ever ask people for favors? Do you know me? Do you know me? Is it okay if I talk to you? Is that all right? Can you give me 20 bucks? That was a no smile. Now, I'm not going to embarrass myself any further here, but if I had somebody here who loved me, I could ask for far more than that, and you'd do it for me. Y'all with me? Being a Christian is so hard sometimes. God asks us to do so much. I mean, I just... Really? Can I tell you this? If you feel overwhelmed with your responsibilities, how much God is asking you to do, can I say this? He only asks that of people who truly love him. He doesn't ask that of people who are saved by the skin of their teeth. They're going to heaven just barely. Amen. It's in the Bible. Amen. You know who he asked to go through the fire? His martyrs. He says, listen, don't worry about it. He says, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun. He says, but I'll be with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. Amen. I'll be with you. Amen. But I would never ask that of somebody who doesn't love me, and I love, and they don't love me back. Folks, what did Daniel have to go through to get that extra revelation? Folks, he got thrown in a lion's den. What did John have to go through to get the extra revelation? Folks, tradition tells us he was boiled in oil. Oh, but at least he wasn't martyred. Amen. When it gets too hard, just ask yourself, do I love him? Yeah. And he would never ask anything of you that he wouldn't either give you the ability or make a way of escape if he knew it was going to overwhelm you.
That's right.
And he wouldn't have asked that of anybody else, but he asked that of Lazarus. And you know why he could get away with it? Because he knew Lazarus loved him. We should go to church, and we could use a King James Bible, and we should dress, give our best unto the Lord. Amen. And we should. And young kids go, why? Because I love him. And there's not anything he couldn't ask me for that I won't give him. He can have my service, and he can have my study, and he can have my sacrifice. Why? Because I love him because he first loved me. Let's not tell people what and how to do all the time. Let's tell them why we do it. Mom and Dad, we could drive a better car if you wouldn't give so much to missions. Why do we do that? Because we love lost souls. We love lost souls. What? Anybody here? I'll just give my own testimony. When you first tell somebody you're called to preach, the first thing they do is they say, "You're going to quit that good job?" That's what they say. Yeah. Why? Because I love him. I can do without. I can do without. Why? He loved me so much, the least I can do is love him back. Why do you do what you do for Jesus Christ in this church until he comes? I hope it's because you love him. Let's all stand.